This episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/SBO. Terms and conditions apply.
Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
I've got some bad news. I hate to start the show with bad news, but if you're thinking about going on vacation to Haiti, you may want to cancel your plans. I know. The U.S. military has carried out an operation in Haiti to airlift non-essential embassy personnel from the country and added U.S. forces to bolster embassy security after dozens of heavily armed gang fighters tried to seize the political quarter of its capital, Port-au-Prince. German Foreign Ministry, meanwhile, shipped its ambassador and staff to the Dominican Republic. The gangs in Haiti have begun an offensive to topple the government, and it's working. They stormed and ransacked the police stations, prisons, and hospitals, and they're laying siege to all the strategic locations, including the port and the airport. Now, the prime minister, he's been out of the country, and gosh darn it, he's just stranded in Puerto Rico. And he doesn't know what to do. And, you know, our officials are saying, yeah, the government could fall. I'm pretty sure it already has. It already has. So if you were thinking about going to Haiti for a vacation, probably not the best time. We are getting mixed reports, though. Daniel Foote, F-O-O-T-E, the former U.S. special envoy to Haiti, predicted, the gangs are probably going to simmer down if the prime minister resigns. But he also said, the security situation, it's become so acute that a large international intervention is probably the only way to restore order. He said such a mission would need to involve between 5,000 and 10,000 police officers and be led by a major economy with experience in police capacity building. That's the U.S., Canada, Britain, France, or another EU country. I would even throw Australia into that. Maybe even China. Because they have experience in police capacity building. But my main point would be to go ahead and cancel that Haitian vacation. You know, for now. Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. Two stories that are, different. just amazing. So one headline is why more people are buying houses with their friends. And then I have a story about Scandals and Secrets, which is a book, but it's about the exclusive private residential ship called The World. Now, you probably have to have about $10 million. To be able to show up on The World. It's a floating city exclusively to the 1%, a playground for multimillionaires and billionaires that circumvents the world's oceans. It's an exclusive private residential ship, home to 165 super luxe apartments. It's shrouded in secrecy, and buying a condo on board is an invitation-only situation. You've got to be nominated by one resident and seconded by another. And if you don't have $10 million, have a nice day. It's a 12-deck ship, launched in 2002, spans 644 feet. And we find out about it from this Peter Antonucci, a retired lawyer who spent 6 years as a resident of The World. And then he sold. And Once you've circumvented the globe a few times, you've seen it. I'd seen what I wanted to see. I was ready for something new. Right? I mean, really. I am agreeing with you, Peter. Once you've, you know, circumvented the globe a few times, you've seen it. It's time to move on. So he's written three novels now, set on a fictional ship, and the most recent of which, Tides of Betrayal, promises secrets, sins, and the scandals on the high seas. He claims there's a lot of wealthy people doing playful things, sometimes naughty things, sometimes scandalous things. Yeah, no kidding. So once he got back on dry land, when he was tired of circumventing the globe, he decided, you know, I should probably go through the journals that I kept during the years on board, and decided, you know what? I should write some books. Yeah, all fiction, of course. There's no real story. The names have been changed to protect the innocent. But sounds like fun. So if you were to say hit the lotto, you know, like the Powerball tonight, the 11th of March, 2024, for $532 million jackpot, $260.1 million cash payout, you may want to buy yourself a place on the world. Now, you could maybe hit the Mega Millions drawing, which is tomorrow night, at $735 million jackpot, $356.7 million cash payout. You would be able to buy a place on the world, the exclusive private residential ship. You may move away from the other headline that I told you about, why people are buying houses with friends. Huh. Now, we can all just figure it out because we all, you know that things are way more expensive these days. But apparently, roughly half of Americans are willing to split the bill on buying a home in a less traditional way, per a new study. Buying with a friend is one way to make this wild market more manageable. During a recent survey from J-Double Surety Bonds, which, I mean, I'm a fan, saw some 15% of Americans have gone in on a home with someone other than a romantic partner. People who split a mortgage with a friend might also see it as an avenue to build and sustain community. Really? Yeah. Co-ownership rates grew 21.1% on average among non-married partners in 2023 compared to the previous year in the top U.S. Counties with the largest co-ownership transaction growth, which were in Virginia, Utah, North Dakota, Minnesota, and Colorado. So if one person has had a bad credit score, that could negatively influence the mortgage terms. If one person in the agreement fails to pay their part of the mortgage payments, it could also hurt the other's credit score. But hey, you know, if you didn't hit the lotto and you want to buy a home, there's a way to do it. Go ahead and buy it with friends. But no matter how you're going to buy a home, you should use Real Estate Agents I Trust. I know, realestateagentsitrust.com. When you absolutely positively have to buy or sell a home, sometimes you just gotta. You want Real Estate Agents I Trust on your side. Look, it's a company started by Glenn a while ago because he was tired of dealing with incompetent real estate agents, and he figured other people might be as well. So let's face it, buying and selling a home is not fun. It's a lot of work. It can be confusing. You don't want to be making a lot of mistakes in this economy. The agents they work with are the ones that are the best in your area. They're the top sellers. They know the lay of the land and the best practices to get you and your family where you need to go, whether it's across the street or across the country. Most of these agents are fans of this show too, so hey, you'll have a little something in common starting out. Do yourself and your family a favor. Check them out today. realestateagentsitrust.com. realestateagentsitrust.com. I'm serious now. When you think about it, the name kind of says it all, doesn't it? Real Estate Agents I Trust? Huh. realestateagentsitrust.com. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately.
this episode is brought to you by Indeed. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/SBO. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, congratulations to the film Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey, as that took home the Razzie for the worst picture. Yay! That was announced this weekend. The Razzies, the Golden Raspberry Awards. John Voight won Worst Actor for the film Mercy. Sylvester Stallone snagged Worst Supporting Actor for Expendables 4. EXPEND4BLES, if you're not familiar with that. Megan Fox had the distinction of winning 2 Razzies for Worst Actress and Supporting Actress for Johnny and Clyde and Expendables. That is awesome. So congratulations to all the winners from the Razzies. And most importantly, congratulations for the best worst picture, Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Now, we did have the Oscars this weekend as well, the Academy Awards. Oppenheimer was the big winner. It took home the ceremony's top prize of Best Picture. It also got 6 other awards, 7 in total, including Best Actor, Cillian Murphy, Best Supporting Actor, Robert Downey Jr., who was great in the film, the Best Director, Christopher Nolan. So congratulations to Oppenheimer for its big night at the Academy Awards. The other big winners of the night was Poor Things, which took home 4 Oscars, including Best Actress, Emma Stone. Divine Joy Randolph won Best Supporting Actress for The Holdovers. And what a shame. Martin Scorsese and Robert Duche Niro's Killers of the Flower Moon was shut out after entering the night with 10 nominations. I know. They didn't even... Lily Gladstone didn't even win one. And she's won all the other awards just as a, you know... I'm sure she was great in the movie, but, you know, it just happens that she's an indigenous human. And we had, you know, John Cena show up almost naked for the best costume design. And we had Jimmy Kimmel trying to be funny using Trump Truth Social posts. And he wasn't that funny. And I'm sure that those were jokes on the fly without his writing team. So that might tell you something. And we also, I loved the Al Pacino announcement of Best Picture. He walked out on stage and, of course, they play the Godfather music and everybody shows the clip of him walking out. And then he hears the Godfather music and he's like, oh, again, I got to hear the Godfather music. Yeah, you do, Al. I know you're 83, but you have to hear that. That's the way it goes. But apparently he was supposed to, you know, run through all the list of the nominees, which, you know, is really like never ending. American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, The Zone of Interest. I mean, he's not going to do that. He's 83. Everybody knows it's going to be Oppenheimer. So he comes out and he's like, yeah, we're not doing that. I'm not going through the whole list.
Only one will take the award for Best Picture. And
I'm not going through the list now.
I have to wear the envelope for that.
Yeah.
And I will. Here it comes.
Yeah, I'm not going through the whole list.
And my eyes see Oppenheimer.
There you go.
Yes. Yes. Emma Thomas, John
Stewart. And he pulls it out. Yes, yes. And that's what it says. I was right. And that's what my eyes saw. And now we're taking care of it. That's the end. Have a nice day. I love it. And Barbie did get an Oscar. It was the song, What Was I Made For? was sung by Billie Eilish and Finneas O'Connell, music and lyric from Billie Eilish and Finneas O'Connell, her brother. So congratulations to Barbie for getting one Oscar, and Billie Eilish too. Wow, she's got an Oscar already. She's on her way to an EGOT. And as long as we're talking about film, I see where Kung Fu Panda 4 topped the domestic box office, earning $58.3 million this weekend. On its opening weekend, it marks the biggest debut of the franchise since the original back in 2008. That raked in $60 million back in 2008. And then 2016 and 2011, Kung Fu Panda's 41 and 47.6 respectively. And then the Dune Part 2 obviously was not number one, thanks to Kung Fu Panda. Kung Fu Panda Kung Fu'd it out of the number one slot, but it still raked in $46 million. So it marks a 44% decline in ticket sales, but it brings the North American total to $157 million, and it's already generated $367.5 million globally. So we'll be okay. I think Dune 2 will be okay, but we'll see. I mean, it cost them a lot of money to make and a lot of money to promote. And so they, you know, need to make some serious cash with it. But congratulations to both those films, including Kung Fu Panda 4. Wow, we also had Miss World happen in Mumbai this week. It was a big weekend, huge events everywhere. Miss World event took place in Mumbai. And Kristina Sokova of the Czech Republic, congratulations. She was crowned Miss World in Mumbai on Saturday. Yasmina Zaytoun of Lebanon was the first runner-up among 112 contestants in the competition. So they, you know, they duked it out, fought it out, put them in the octagon. And then Kristina Sokova, P-Y-S-Z-K-O-V-A of the Czech Republic, came out victorious and won the 71st Miss World pageant. And Carolina Bielowska of Poland is the one who was last year's Miss World. And she's done. Hit the bricks. We're done with her. But anyway, congratulations to Kristina Sokova of the Czech Republic for becoming Miss World.
Yes, the magnificent Trolley Sourbright Crawler, also known as Trolicus brightolus. The worm's captivating neon colour makes it an easy, gummy prey.
Trolley!
It's a surprisingly sour, invitingly chewy, staggeringly snackable species unlike anything else found on this planet.
Eat me!
Delicious. Visit Trolley.com to shop now.
Trolley, eat me!
Who died today? Who died today? Well, let's begin with Akira Toriyama. Akira Toriyama, he died at the age of 68. Now, Akira Toriyama, one of the most influential and best-selling manga authors of all time. Now, he died of a blood clot in his brain. That was a release statement from his Bird studio. Funeral service was held with family and a few relatives. But he created Dragon Ball, the Dragon Ball franchise. And so, I mean, the world mourned. The Dragon Ball fans all mourned the death of Akira Toriyama. And it was reported that it was so popular in Mexico that Mexican cartels have temporarily ceased fire to honor Akira Toriyama's death. yeah, that will happen. No, it was, that was a hoax, and it was not true. So, you know, I don't know that there's anything that could create a ceasefire with the Mexican cartels, but it certainly wouldn't be the death of the creator of Dragon Ball and Japanese manga artist Akira Toriyama. Now, they claim that it was an acute subdural hematoma, and that's what killed him. So it couldn't have been anything to do with that. I don't even know why you're looking at me like that, okay? Because it couldn't have been that. Otherwise, they would have said it. So rest in peace, Akira Toriyama, dead at the age of 68. Then we have Sean Stone. Sean Stone, a producer, a Hollywood action movie producer, dead at the age of 31. You may recognize his involvement in action films featuring Bruce Willis and John Travolta. He has passed away. He had a battle with metastatic neuroendocrine cancer of the colon. And that was diagnosed in July and then has now ultimately claimed his life. Very sad. Couldn't have had anything to do with that because this was diagnosed as cancer in July. If it had anything to do with that, they would have said it in the story. So rest in peace, Sean Stone, dead at the age of 31. Also, who died today? Sophia Leone. Sophia Leone. You may know Sophia because as an adult film star. She has passed away at the age of 26. She was found unresponsive in her New Mexico apartment, and the police are investigating the cause of death. She was, I love the, you know, the obituaries, you know, beloved daughter, sister, granddaughter, niece, and friend. She had a deep love of all animals, especially her three pets. And, well, I'm sorry. It says she had a love of all animals, specifically her three pets. Yeah, I like other animals, but, you know, really, I just love my pets. And she enjoyed traveling and always found ways to make everyone around her smile. Yeah, she was an adult film star. That's what they do. They find ways to make everyone around them smile. Duh. Now, they claim that her death is being investigated as a robbery homicide. Well, that's even sadder. But rest in peace, Sophia Leone, dead at the age of 26. You know, there was the other story about the other adult film actress, Emily Willis, who fell into a coma. Holy cow. So, I mean, we got this one who has passed away, found unresponsive, dead after, I don't know, a break-in and a homicide, possibly. And then we have another adult film star who just went into a coma. And we don't know why she went into a coma. We just know that she went into a coma. So I'm sure it's not that, though, because if it was that, if it had anything to do with that, they would have mentioned it. Then we have the sad news coming out of Kansas City. There were frost-bitten Kansas City Chiefs fans requiring amputations following the record cold playoff game against the Miami Dolphins in January. Wow. So I thought it was originally that it was 12 people from the game that needed amputations, but the way the story is written, there were 12 people who needed amputations during the 11-day cold snap in January from frostbite. But inside of those dozen people included were the victims of that attended the Chiefs wildcard playoff game against the Dolphins. So we don't know how many there were from the game that needed amputations. But it does, I tell you this, this is why, just another example of why every stadium should be domed. Duh, I mean, I've had that fight forever. So the university, the Research Medical Center said more surgeries are anticipated over the next 2 to 4 weeks as injuries evolved. They involved amputations of fingers and toes. The University of Kansas Hospital said it also treated frostbite victims after the game, but did not report any amputations. So, I mean, the ones that went to the University of Kansas, they all should have went there. Sorry, Research Medical Center. I know it was depends on it. Depends on how bad they were frostbitten. I got it. Okay. So this is ridiculous. And I love this story. The Kansas City Chiefs did not immediately respond to a request for comment. What are they supposed to say? We're sorry. Sorry that these people were too dumb to stay warm and keep a face mask on their face or put gloves on their hands. Sorry. Come on now. What are they supposed to say? So fans were permitted heated blankets and small pieces of cardboard to place under their feet on the frozen concrete. And they, you know, out of what, 70,000 people at the stadium, less than a dozen got frostbite. I would say that's, I mean, I realize zero is the only number that's important. I know, but, you know, I'd say that's a pretty low percentage point. But earlier, we talked about this on Pat Gray Unleashed, and we said that there were 12 people that needed amputations from the game. Now, they did need amputations, but they all were not because of the Chiefs game. But, you know, still just an example of why there should be domes on every NFL stadium. In fact, you know what? Let's just go out on a limb and say if it's a professional sport and it needs a stadium, put a dome on it. Okay? That, in fact, is my new motto. Put a dome on it.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're gonna love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
All right, so the Justice Department has opened a criminal probe into the January door blowout incident aboard a Boeing 737 MAX. Now, Boeing has said, we want to help. But the documents related to the removal of key bolts during the assembly, gosh darn it, we can't find them. What did we do? I don't know what to tell you. We want to help you out, but we tried to find the documents and detailing the removal of key part during production of the 737 MAX 9 that failed and the emergency door was there, but maybe we never even created them. But if we did, we lost them. So, you know, sorry. What is happening with the airplanes? They're falling apart. I mean, we had the United flight run off the runway in Houston. We had the Trans-Pacific United flight bound for Japan was diverted to Los Angeles after a tire fell from the plane as it was taking off from San Francisco. That damaged parked vehicles in the airport parking lot. I wish my car was one of them. I don't want anybody to get hurt, but if you're going to land on a car, I'm willing to say, hey, you owe me a new car thanks to that airplane tire. We had the Phoenix-bound Alaska Airlines flight noticed a burning smell at the back of the plane, so pilots said, we're going to go ahead and turn this thing around and go back to Portland. We had the United flight from Houston to Fort Myers, Florida, was forced to make an emergency landing back in Houston after one of the plane's engines started to shoot flames midair. We saw the video of that, and we're going to go ahead and turn this thing back around. And then we had the crew of the United flight from Pensacola to Chicago reporting a gear issue on the plane. But, I mean, the pilots landed safely. So, I mean, okay, that probably is okay. JetBlue plane departing from New York scraped the runway at an airport. Wait, the JetBlue The tail of a jet blue plane departing New York scraped the runway. I caused no injuries. Well, yeah, okay. The smoke filled the cabin and a Breeze Airways flight bound for Pittsburgh. Smoke reportedly came from a lithium battery fire in a laptop, and the plane landed safely in Albuquerque. Okay, American Airlines flight landed at New York's LaGuardia Airport after the plane's crew reported smoke in the cabin. Don't worry about it, though. The FAA is investigating. Delta Airlines flight landed in Syracuse after the plane suffered an engine issue. The American Airlines flight was on its way to Spain, was forced to make an emergency landing in Boston due to a cracked windshield. Look, that could happen to anybody. That could happen to anybody. Just call your insurance. They'll run a window right over. The crew of the United flight reported a blown tire after the plane's departure from Colorado Springs. The plane did make a safe landing. Well, duh. Yeah, we would have heard about that. The pilot of a United flight attempting to land at Newark Liberty International Airport reported the plane's rudder pedal was stuck in neutral, and while the plane was able to safely land with a functioning pedal after touchdown, well, we've got to investigate. Yeah, I mean, I've got a little pedal issue. Anytime you have a pedal issue, you need to get that checked. The FAA opened an investigation into the near miss at John F. Kennedy International Airport in New York. Well, that's not a plane. That's a pilot. And 68 people were... Oh, geez. At least 68 people were killed in a passenger plane crashed near a resort town in Nepal. That was the worst airplane disaster in three decades. That's just thrown in on this list. Oh, by the way, this one killed 68. After takeoff, the door plug on the Alaska Airlines blew out. Yeah, we're checking into that. We're checking on that. But that's the information they lost. Gosh darn it. I wish we could find those notes, but we just can't. We just can't because we don't know what happened to them. If we had them, we'd give them to you, but we just don't know what happened to them. Then we have this. This might be my favorite story from an airline. It was a flight from the island of Southeast Sulawesi of Jakarta. Or to Jakarta, not of. Those two separate places. The island of Southeast Sulawesi, which is beautiful this time of year. Man, I love the island of Southeast Sulawesi. And it was flying to Jakarta, all right? And it was a 2-hour and 35-minute trip. And so the 32-year-old pilot in command asked his 28-year-old deputy for permission to sleep. Now, look, most of these flights are on cruise control anyway. So once they get into the air, we have the pilots there to take off and land. That's what we need them for. And we could probably do without them for that, but everybody would freak out. But once you're in the air and you're on cruise control, take a break and say, hey, you think I could take a little nap? And the 28-year-old said, yeah, sure. Go ahead. No problem. And the captain fell asleep for about an hour. And he woke up for a little bit and he said, you want to trade places? You want to switch places? And the co-pilot was like, no, I'm fine. I got it. No problem. So the captain back to sleep. And he woke up about 28 minutes later to find that his co-pilot was sleeping as well. So he went to sleep and the co-pilot was like, well, he's sleeping, I'm gonna go to sleep. So you got both pilots they were trying to get a hold of him. They couldn't get a hold of him, and they made several calls trying to contact the pilots, but they were met with silence. So I don't know if they ever, you know, scrambled the military jets to see what was going on with the plane. But, I mean, that's quite a long time not to be able to contact the plane. So, none of the passengers or the employees aboard the flight were injured. Yeah, duh. Because once the captain woke up, he was like, oh, crap. We're off course a little bit. And he got him back on course, and they landed it at Jakarta. And the officer said after being interrogated that You know, I've been busy taking care of my one-month-old twins and his new home, and I've been struggling to get enough sleep. So that was the second guy go. That was the 20. That wasn't the captain. That was the first officer, because the captain was the one who said, hey, what do you think? Can I take, you okay if I close my eyes for a little bit? And he was like, yeah, sure, go ahead. So the guy that was the most tired said, yeah, go ahead. Instead of saying, man, I was hoping to catch a little sleep myself, so that the captain probably would have fallen asleep. I mean, would have stayed awake. So that's kind of, I mean, I don't know if that's, I don't know, it's his fault. I'm sticking up for the captain. So it didn't have anything to do with drugs or alcohol. They both passed their health checks. And now, for now, they've been temporarily suspended. Yeah, because you know, a lot of pilots take naps while the plane is on cruise control on these flights, right? You know that. You know, you're not going to tell me any different. You're not going to convince me any different. You're a pilot out there. I'm sure you're not going to admit it to me. But I get that you're not supposed to take a nap. I get it. But I will say that I believe that if you're in a flight that's, you know, longer than 2 hours and you need to catch a little nap, you got a quick shut eye, the airplane's on cruise control, and, you know, your partner is going to answer air traffic controllers along the way while you take a little nap. And you get a little shut eye, close your eyes. You know how much better you feel when there are times when you just got to close your eyes? You just have to close your eyes. I get it. I get it. There are times when you just have to close your eyes, no matter whether you're flying a plane or not. So I don't know how you solve that problem. Do you send the flight crew to check on the pilots every 10 minutes, every 15 minutes? There's got to be a way for the purser or the head flight attendant to have communication with the towers if there's a problem, right? They've got to be able to be reached. There must be some sort of communication line to the head flight attendant, purser, whatever you want to call them, so that if there's an issue where they can't get a hold of the pilot, then, you know, the flight attendant would be made aware. But for the most part, I mean, everything was fine. Even though they both fell asleep, everything was still fine. They veered off course a little bit, but the air traffic controllers saw it veering off course, so everything was fine. And then once they woke up, they're like, oh, hey, I'm with you. Don't worry about it. I know I'm supposed to be angry at these pilots for sleeping, but I'm not. I'm angry at the one guy for not saying, hey, no. You know, when asked, hey, you think I could get some shut-eye? No, you know what? I'm the tired one. I've got my twins. I've been really tired. I'll tell you what. You can have a little shut-eye after me, okay? I need to close my eyes. And then everything would have been fine. But instead, the pilot let the first officer say, yeah, sure, go ahead. And then it was nice and quiet. And you know how things are when you're sleeping. It's nice and quiet and everything is just enclosed and you're just dreaming away. And if you're sitting next to someone that's sound asleep like that, pretty soon you're... You are sound asleep too, whether you're flying a plane or driving a car. And I don't recommend doing either, you know, while you're sleeping, but you can quote me on that. I don't recommend doing either. And that would be sleeping, either driving an automobile or flying an airplane. All right, let's get out of here. Give me the joke of the day. It's actually an older one. I've been laughing about it all weekend long. It really did make me LOL the first time that I read it again. So, because I remember seeing this when it first hit the algorithm of social media a few years ago, because Trump was president at the time when this was posted. But it, I'm laughing just looking at it now. The post... it reads, I live in constant fear that Trump will deport my Latina mother-in-law, who lives at 1837 3rd Street, LA 90023, blue house. She gets off work at 6. That there is funny. And if you've ever had, you know, lived with your mother-in-law, it's even funnier.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.